Blackhawks goal scored by Boom Boom Warshawski.
Oh, Mama, my head aches, my eyes hurt. Mama, will I be well soon, Mama?
Vicky?
Mama?
Deadlock by Sarah Paretsky.
It's me, Vic. Lottie.
Ah, oh, my head. Lottie.
Dramatized for radio by Micheline Wandor.
So, Liebchen, you gave us a few bad hours, but you're all right now.
What happened? Where am I?
With Kathleen Turner as V.I. Warshawski.
Billings Hospital, the University of Chicago. I'm going to give you an injection. You'll sleep.
Episode 3, Bedtime Stories.
Brakes. Lights of a truck behind me, car in front of me. Pump the brakes, nothing. Wheel. The steering wheel spins loose.
Ah, we're awake.
Damn right I'm awake.
We'll take our temperature, shall we?
Why is my arm in a cast? Is my shoulder broken?
Shall we put this under our tongue?
Get the police. Superintendent Bobby Mallory.
We must have our temperature taken.
My temperature is rising by the second. Will you please call the police?
Dr. Herschel will be by later, and if she feels it's wise for us to start talking to people, she'll say, we've had concussion, we must lie still.
Have I got a temperature? What is my pulse? Now, come on, damn it, it's my body. Tell me what it's doing and quit this wee crap.
You should be thankful you're alive and disagreeable.
Damn. Ugh. One problem, shoulder. Knees covered with gauze, bruises on my right arm. Oh, bandage on my head. Oh, scalp wound probably explains the headache. Oh, face feels okay. Praise the Lord, I'll still be beautiful at 40. Telephone. Prop against my right shoulder. Ouch. Ooh. Oh. Come on. Lieutenant Mallory, please. It's V.I. Warshawski.
Vicky.
Bobby.
You better not be calling me to sweet-talk me. I know you're homing in on that Kelvin investigation. I want you out, O-U-T.
You'll never believe this, Bobby. Bobby, I'm in the hospital.
Oh, yeah? What is it this time?
No, look, somebody else wants me off this case as much as you. They took out my brakes and my steering when my car was parked at the port yesterday.
Come on, Vicky. Don't fool around with me now, huh? What happened?
I hope you can find out. I was coming home about 10:30, 11. The steering and the brakes went.
Oh, shit, Vicky. Why can't you just stay home and raise a family, huh?
Look, Bobby, I can't help it. Trouble follows me.
You go looking for it.
I have a dislocated shoulder and a concussion. I can't do anything, work or raise a family for a while. Would you please find out who the hell scooped me off the expressway and have the car checked out?
Yeah, I guess I can do that.
What is...
What's the number?
We must behave.
You give me that telephone.
I'm sorry, Miss Warshawski.
Who the hell is
that? We can't have you doing anything to excite yourself. Hello?
Yeah?
Your party is not going to be able to complete the call at this time.
What?
How dare you decide whether or not I talk on the phone?
This hospital has certain rules. One of them is to keep concussion and accident victims quiet.
Quiet? You are getting me so excited.
If you take that attitude, I'll just have to unplug the phone and take it away. Oh, thank goodness. Dr. Herschel, I can seem to do a thing.
It's okay, nurse. I'll handle this.
Good. She's impossible.
Glad to see you're feeling better, my dear.
Lottie, this place is driving me nuts.
Vic, you have dislocated your shoulder. You must keep it still to minimize the tear on the muscle. Your head is badly cut. You were unconscious for 6 hours, you know. I'm not letting you take chances.
Lottie, I have people I have to talk to. The Lucilla sales at 7. That damn nurse took my phone away.
I'm afraid it's after 7 now. I'll get the phone back in and you can make your calls. But really, Vic, even with your constitution, you must keep the shoulder in a stationary position for 2 more days. Please?
Can I have visitors?
If it'll keep you in hospital, anything. Well, almost anything.
Hi, Vic. I brought you a cactus.
Oh, how very appropriate, Murray. Oh, ow, watch the shoulder.
Sorry.
Hey, has anybody ever told you look a little like a Swedish Elliot Gould?
You're the first one today.
Sit down.
Okay, tell me what happened.
Wait a minute, is this an interview or a sick visit?
How about an interview in exchange for my story on Paige?
Ah, what'd you find out?
Well, Miss Carrington's a hard-working girl. Excuse me, young woman.
Better.
She has one older sister, no brothers. She got a scholarship at the American Ballet Theater when she was 15. She lives in an apartment on Astor Place. Father's dead. Mother lives in Park Forest
South. Okay, what about her and my cousin?
Well, someone spotted her with Boom Boom at the hockey stadium back in March. If it was serious, they kept it mighty quiet. They didn't go to any of the celebrity hotspots. We talked to some of the other hockey players. They seemed to think she was chasing him.
Uh-huh.
Your turn. Who emptied your brake fluid?
Oh, the police say vandals.
And you say?
I say I can't figure it out.
Vic, come on. You got someone mad, and they cut your power steering.
Hey, could have been Lieutenant Mallory. He wants me to keep my nose out of the Kelvin case. I'm an invalid, Murray. Give me a break.
Yeah, I'm going to follow you around from now on, Vic.
Murray, you don't get out of here, I'm going to stick the nurse on you. Now, she is mean.
All right. Get well soon, Vic. You know, I'd miss you if you got to your ninth life.
Oh, thanks.
Take care. See you around.
Call my insurance agent and report the damage to the car. Anyone down at the port could have sabotaged it. Clayton Phillips, vice president of Eudora Gray, knew I was there. Everybody on board the Lucilla knew my car was parked there, including Martin Bledsoe. Oh, come on, can anybody who kisses that well be evil enough to put my car out of commission? Maybe Clayton Phillips fell in love with me and just couldn't express it. No, I don't think so. Oh, shit, my head hurts.
Vic? Vic, are you awake?
What? Pierre Bouchard. How did you know I was here?
I saw the story about your accident in the paper. I'm so sorry, Vic. First Boom Boom and now this.
Oh, occupational hazard, Pierre. You know what it's like. How many times has your nose broken? 3 times?
4. Listen, I've been in Quebec for 2 weeks. I got home last night, and there was a letter waiting from Boom Boom. He must have mailed it the day before he died. Look, I thought you might want to see it.
Thanks. Pierre, I hear you're playing in the Cour d'Argent. Break their heads for me, my friend. I thought I saw Howard the other day in very odd circumstances. I tried calling him. Elsie said he was in Quebec with you. Give me a ring when you get back, Boom Boom. Howard. Howard Mattingly?
Yeah, Elsie's his wife. Poor girl. If he told her he was going to the Cour d'Argent, she would believe him. Just in order not to find out where he really was.
So he wasn't in Quebec with you?
Always a new girl with Howard. Boom Boom never cared for him. He can't even play hockey.
I need a photo of Mattingly.
I can get you a publicity picture.
And his phone number?
Sure.
Oh, great. Thanks, Pierre.
You're a terrible patient, my dear. They tell me you're rejecting all medication. I don't mind if you don't want the pain pills. That's your choice. But you must take the antibiotics. I don't want any secondary infection in the arm. There's your supper.
Ugh. Everything's boiled to death.
Good. No digestive problems for you.
I want pizza. I want some pasta, wine.
If you can stand it for one more day, I'll take you home on Monday. You can spend a few days with me, okay?
Lottie, I have work to do. I can't lie in bed.
Don't threaten me, Vic. When have I ever tried to stop you from doing your job, even when you are being a pit dog?
Pit dog? What the hell does that mean?
A dog that has to get down in the pit, in the ring, and fight every damn person, even its friends.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Vic. I've also brought you a pizza. Onion and anchovy.
Oh, Lottie, you are wicked. My favorite. Wine as well?
No wine while you're on antibiotics. Come on, eat. We'll play gin rummy.
You'll win.
I should do. All I remember of World War II is sitting in London bomb shelters playing gin.
Vic, I was so sorry to hear about the accident. I couldn't visit before. The show has taken every second of my time.
How is Pavan for a dope dealer, Paige?
Oh, don't ask.
Paige, listen. I'm trying to reconstruct Boom Boom's movements in the days before he died.
Don't you think it's time you let the dead bury the dead, Vic?
I'm doing a favor for a friend of Boom Boom's. Pierre Bouchard, you know him?
Oh, he's a sweetheart. What does he want to know?
If you'd seen Howard Mattingly recently.
Who is that?
He's one of the second string players. Now, where did you and Boom Boom go last Saturday?
That was my last private day with Boom Boom, Vic. I want to keep it to myself.
You didn't see him Monday night?
Vic, I know you're a detective, but this is excessive. You have a morbid interest in your cousin. I think you can't stand the thought that he might have been close to any woman other than you.
Paige, I am not asking you to tell me what kind of a lover Boom Boom was. I just want to know what you did on Saturday and whether you saw him on Monday. I don't see why that should make me jealous of you.
I like you, Vic. You remind me of Boom Boom, except you're more aggressive. Okay. We went sailing on Saturday. We got back at 4, so I could get to rehearsal. He may have stayed with the boat, I don't know. Monday night, we had dinner at the Gypsy. I never saw him after that. Are you satisfied?
I suppose so. Mrs. Mattingly, V.I. Wachowski. I don't know whether you remember me. I'm Boom Boom Wachowski's cousin.
Oh, sure. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Is your husband there?
I'm afraid not.
Well, Mrs. Mattingly, Boom Boom told me that he'd seen your husband sailing on the 23rd. Did you go with him?
No, I get tired easily. I'm pregnant, you know. Actually, I don't know if he went sailing or not.
Would you ask Howard to call me when he gets in? Thanks.
The swelling's down. Can you bend your arm?
Yes.
It will be a little stiff for a while. Okay. You can be released from your bondage.
Good. I want a bottle of Black Label, and I want my Smith & Wesson, and I want the guy who took a crack at me.
Patience, Vic. Just a little patience.
Buddy, have you ever known me to be patient?
Well...
Exactly. May I drive?
If you're careful.
Oh, Lottie, I love you. The Ajax Insurance Company has provided me with a Chevette. Now, pad of paper, some pens, Smith & Wesson, small leather briefcase, back in harness. Driving up to Lake Bluff is a major undertaking. Every turn of the wheel wrenches my healing shoulder and strains the muscles in my neck. Pull off the Tri-State Tollway onto Route 137 to 230. Imposing mansions. Vast lawns, Harbor Road overlooks the lake. Clayton Phillips' house. A two-story frame structure topped with rough shingles imitating thatching. Maybe 10 rooms. Mrs. Phillips?
Yes?
Good afternoon. I'm Ellen Edwards with Tri-State Research.
What can I do for you?
Well, we're doing a survey of the wives of important corporate executives. Could I trouble you for just a few minutes?
What's it for?
Oh, it's for one of the big magazines.
Oh, I see. Well, that's nice. Come inside, please.
Thank you. Oh, you have a wonderful view of Lake Michigan. Do you sail, Mrs. Phillips?
No, I never cared to learn. Sit down, please.
Thank you. This is a beautiful room. Did you make these chair covers?
I did, as a matter of fact. Needlepoint is one of my hobbies.
Exquisite. What else?
Tennis. I adore tennis. We belong to the Maritime Country Club.
Have you lived in Lake Bluff long?
5 years.
And before that?
In Park Forest South, much closer to the port, of course. But Lake Bluff is such a wonderful place to live. It's a good home for the girls.
You have children?
2 daughters and a son.
No, you look so young.
Why, thank you.
Now, we are particularly interested in the advantages and the disadvantages of being a corporate spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of the women we talk to find their husband's schedules are the biggest disadvantage. Raising families alone, that kind of thing. I imagine your husband puts in very long hours.
Well, it's not too bad. He's generally home by 7 o'clock. Sometimes it's a little later. Last Thursday, for example, he wasn't back until well after 9. I remember because I cooked a roast. And finally, the girls and I ate it without waiting for him.
Oh, was he upset or tired? Were his clothes a mess?
A mess? Well, what would your firm want to know a thing like that for?
Oh, well, I was just wondering if you did your own laundry or if you send it out, or the maid does it.
Oh, we send it out. We can't afford a maid. Not yet, anyway. Maybe next year. It's a demanding lifestyle. We spend everything Clayton earns.
Well, what about your neighbors?
Well, of course, we're not as well off as some. You ought to talk to Mrs. Greyfog. The big brick place up the road, her husband owns one of the biggest firms in town. They have maids and a chauffeur of the works.
Do you spend much time with them?
Not really. No, they sponsored us in the Maritime Club, and Niels takes Paul, that's my son, and Clayton sailing with him sometimes. But she's pretty standoffish.
Well, I do thank you for your time, Mrs. Phillips. I'll mail you a copy of this report when I complete it later this summer.
Well, it's been a pleasure. I'll show you out.
Thank you. Oh, the Greyfog House. Now, do I turn right or left? So this is where the Viking lives.
Hey! Hey, look where you're going!
What the hell are you doing?
Are you crazy? Don't you signal before you turn?
What? Hey, it's the lady detective. What are you doing here?
Admiring the view. I didn't realize I needed life insurance to travel to the northern suburbs.
Why are you spying on my property?
Oh, Mr. Greyfog, give me some credit. If I was spying on you, I wouldn't do it right outside your front door. You'd never even know I was there.
So?
I was passing by. Quite a place you've got.
I'm sorry. Listen, come in and have a drink.
I'd love a drink if you're through being angry.
Splendid. Right this way. What'll you have?
Sherry, please. Wow, quite a house.
My father built it back in the 20s. It's a little ornate, but my wife likes it.
Must be great living right on the lake. Do you keep a boat?
The beaches here have a very gradual slope. You can't keep anything more than a 4-foot draw close to the shore. Nearest public harbor's in Waukegan, very polluted. The commandant of the Great Lakes Naval Station's a personal friend. I tie my sailboat up there. Here you are. Do sit down.
Thanks. Lovely glass. Ah, liquid gold.
Miss Warshawski, I know you've been asking questions around the port. Greyfog Shipping carries a lot of cargo for Eudora Grain. Is there something going on with their Chicago operation I should know about?
Mr. Greyfog, if you think there are problems with Eudora Grain, I suggest you ask Clayton Phillips. My main concern at the moment is trying to find out who tried to kill me Thursday night.
Kill you?
Somebody took out the brakes and the steering in my car. Only luck and a seatbelt kept me alive.
Was it vandals?
Oh, sure, anybody could empty brake fluid. What vandals carry around a ratchet wrench and a cutting torch on the off chance that they find a car to mutilate?
How well do you know Martin Bledsoe?
I've met him a couple times. Why?
Did he tell you anything about his background at dinner on Thursday?
Oh, now who's spying on whom, Mr. Greyfog?
The port is a small community, Miss Warshawski. Martin hasn't asked a woman out to dinner since his wife died 6 years ago. Everyone was talking about it.
Is there something I should know about Bledsoe?
There is. I've never told anyone about it. Even when Martin left my company and I was mad enough to want to hurt him badly.
Tell me.
Martin grew up in Cleveland. Bledsoe is his mother's maiden name. His father could have been any one of a series of drunken sailors on Cleveland's waterfront.
Oh, well, that's not a crime, Mr. Greyfog. It's not even his fault.
That's true. He left home when he was 15, lied about his age, and signed on to sail the Great Lakes. In those days, you didn't need the training you do now. And, of course, there was a lot more shipping. No waiting around union halls to be called up for a job. Martin was strong for his age.
And then?
Well, he's a smart fellow. When he was 19, Martin ended up in our Toledo office. He obviously had far too many brains to waste just doing muscle work that any dumb Polack could handle.
Gee, maybe you could find an opening for me on one of your boats if I get tired of detective work.
Oh, Warshawski. I see. Don't show your hackles. It's not worth it. Waterfront's filled with poles, strong as oxen, but not much brain power.
I won't argue the point.
Well, Martin was operating in an environment he could understand intellectually, but not socially. He was handling too much money, and he siphoned some of it off.
Then what happened?
I lost a tough argument with my father about prosecuting Martin. I'd found him, I'd pushed him. I wanted to give him a second chance. Dad refused, and Martin spent 2 years in prison. My father died the month before he was released, and I hired him back immediately. He never did anything else criminal that I'm aware of. I hope you'll keep this to yourself.
So that was what you meant that day at lunch. Bledsoe educated himself in prison. And you were hinting you could tell people about it if you wanted to.
I didn't think you'd caught that.
Ha, even a boneheaded Polak couldn't miss that one.
Martin and I have an understanding. He doesn't attack my fleet. I don't tell people about his disreputable past. He was making fun of the Grey Fox line. I was just backing him off.
I see. And Eudora Grain? What do you think's going on there?
Everyone knows you've been looking into your cousin's death, and that you and Phillips don't get on. You can't keep secrets in a closed community. If there is something wrong at Eudora Grain, it would have to involve money. It's none of my business, but I do periodically wonder where Clayton Phillips gets his money.
Eudora Grain pays him well. Or he inherited it, or his wife did, any one of these possibilities.
I grew up with a lot of money, and I'm used to living with it. There are people without money who are at ease with and around it. Martin's one. But Clayton and Janine aren't. If they inherited it, it was an unexpected windfall late in life.
Are you suggesting embezzlement?
I'm not suggesting anything.
Well, you sponsor them at the Maritime Club. I mean, that's impossible for the nouveau riche to crack. You got them in, you must know something about them.
That was my wife. She undertakes odd charities. Janine Phillips was one that she's since come to regret. Yes? Yes, I'll take the call. Will you excuse me, Miss Warshawski, please?
Oh, yeah, sure. I was just going. Oh, thanks for the sherry.
Eudora Grain.
Janet.
Oh, it's you.
How are you?
Fine. Busy.
Listen, can you find out for me how much Phillips makes?
Well, I don't think I can do that, Mr. Warshawski. Payroll information is confidential.
Janet, don't you want Boom Boom's murderer caught?
Well, yes, but I don't know...
Please, Janet.
Mr. Phillips' secretary watches me like a hawk.
I see. Well, how often do you get paid?
Well, every other week. Our next paycheck's due Friday.
Okay. Any chance you could look in his waste paper basket at the end of the day? Look, a lot of people just toss in their pay stub, you know.
Okay, I'll try.
Thanks, Janet. You're a doll.
Hello?
What is that fantastic smell?
Roast chicken. Mm. It's just about ready. Sit down. How was your day?
Confusing.
Why don't you turn it over to the police?
I don't trust them. They think Boom Boom died accidentally, and they want my crash to be vandals. Mmm, hmm. God, delicious. Lovely.
Don't pick! What are you going to do next?
Well, I got this crazy idea. I want to go meet the Lucilla at the next port she pulls in and have it out with Martin Bledsoe.
How can you find out where the ship is?
Track them down through Grain News. The magazine lists contracts and when and where they're to be picked up. That way Bledsoe's office won't be able to warn him I'm coming. Oh, listen, I'll do the dishes.
What is this? Your head wound must have been worse than I thought.
What?
When did you ever clean up dishes within 2 days of using them?
I will swat you with a dish towel.
I'll rub some stuff into your shoulder before you go to bed.
Actually, my arm's pretty stiff right now.
I knew it! You want to get out of doing the dishes.
Yeah.
Now what are you doing?
See? There. Told you. Now, Lucilla is unloading coal in Detroit today, leaves there tomorrow. She'll be in Thunder Bay, Lake Superior, on Thursday and Friday. Canada, here I come.
Vic, you said...
Okay, okay. You wash, I'll dry. Air Canada has one flight a day to Thunder Bay. Okay. Small campus bag, jeans, shirt, heavy sweater, wallet in my jeans pocket, Smith & Wesson in my jacket. We stop 5 times on the way to Thunder Bay on tiny airstrips. At Thunder Bay, I climb down rollaway stairs under a clear night, 600 miles north of Chicago, shiver across the tarmac, book 2 nights at Thunder Bay's Holiday Inn.
Can you tell me where I can rent a car?
One of my sons has a couple of old cars he rents out if you don't need anything too fancy, miss.
Long as they have automatic transmission.
How long do you need it for?
1 day.
$30, payable in advance in cash.
Thunder Bay is an enormous port. Grain ship from America passes through heading east and south. The Manitoba grain elevator is enormous. The Lucilla's red hulk gleams sleepily in the late morning sun. Above her hovers a mass of white smoke, grain dust. The Lucilla is loading. The gun digs into my side as I climb the Lucilla's ladder to the main deck. Whitened figures, can't recognize anyone. Climb the four flights to the mahogany-paneled bridge.
Hey! Miss Wachowski!
Mike! How you doing?
Well, how did you get on board?
Climb the ladder, remember? You showed me how.
Is Captain Bemis expecting you?
Is he around?
Well, no, he and Mr. Bledsoe are in Thunder Bay right now. They won't be back until late afternoon. Not until right before we sail.
Look, can I wait till the captain gets back?
He won't have time to talk to you.
Oh, that's okay. We can talk once the ship gets going. I need to talk to Martin Bledsoe as well.
If you're thinking of sailing with us, you'll have to clear that with the captain, Miss Wachowski.
Well, assuming he gives his permission. Where's the nearest place I can get off?
There isn't any place on board for you to sleep. Bledsoe's in the stateroom.
I'm not asking for a place to sleep. I'm asking where I can get off.
Sault Ste. Marie, I guess. You could get off when we're at the lot, but we won't be there till tomorrow afternoon. You'd still have to find some place to spend the night.
I'll just lie down here on the couch on the bridge if I need to, okay?
Well, I...
Look, I'm sure you have work to do. I'll amuse myself till the others get back.
I suppose so.
I go down to the deck. A stack of giant oil drums are an effective shield from the bridge. Sit down on a metal box, place my bag against a coil of rope and wait. From here, I can see the shore and the deck. The loading's finished. The heavy grain chutes are being hauled back onto the dock. Men put the hatch covers back onto the deck openings. Oh, what the hell do I say to Bledsoe? Ahoy there, me hearty. Frivolous. Oh, Martin, we can't keep meeting like this. Nah.
Everything okay, Mr. Sheridan?
Everything's on time, Mr. Bledsoe.
They're back. Loosen my gun in its holster. A trail of black diesel smoke drifts upward from the giant funnel. A couple of seamen are working at the guy ropes on shore. What the hell? Now, why would anybody go for a swim just as the ship's leaving? Nah, you're nervous, V.I. Come on, you're imagining things. Now, there it is. A figure breaks the surface 20 yards away, close to shore. We're on our way. Two gray-green troughs appear at my feet, the wake of the giant screws. But a figure climbs out of the water 50 yards away onto the shingle, and it disappears behind a clump of trees. Oh, okay. Now for it.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Miss Wachowski. Nick, what are you doing here?
I hope you don't mind my gate crashing the party.
You must be aware, Miss Wachowski, that it's a major breach of maritime custom to come on board ship without the captain's permission.
So?
Technically, that makes you a stowaway. I could lock you up until we get to the nearest port. You have committed a very serious offense.
Whoa. Why don't we all just sit down and discuss it, Captain Bemis?
Episode 3 of Deadlock. Kathleen Turner played V.I. Wachowski, with Eleanor Braun as Lottie, William Hootkins as Bobby Mallory, and Carrie Shale as Murray. James Aubrey played Martin Bledsoe, Peter Marinker, Niels Greyfalk, Teresa Gallagher, Paige Carrington, and Shelley Thompson, Janine Phillips. Keith Drinkle was Mike Sheridan, William Dufresne, Captain Bemis, Jill Graham, Janet, Matthew Morgan, Pierre Bouchard, Melanie Hudson, Elsie, and Geraldine Fitzgerald as the nurse. Deadlock was dramatized by Micheline Wandor, and the director was Janet Whittaker.